Pablo, he's an expert in visualization and mass media. He's cooperating with Open Evidence and spin-off of the Open University of Catalonia, and I have also the chance to cooperate with them in different European projects. And well, he is also cooperating with the, what's the name of the company?
Montera 34.
And he has a wide experience in application of visualization in mass media. In particular, he was a visiting scientist at MIT, where he cooperated from development of one software, it's called PageOneX, that really analyzes the front pages of different newspapers. Also, it is very, very important, and was awarded also. He's going to present now a lecture called Uses and Abuses of Data Visualization in Mass Media. So, Pablo, the floor is yours.
So thank you very much. I want to introduce myself. Like also, I'm not working directly with official statistics like most of you. I work like more with data, between the art and data visualization and academics, and also with citizen-driven initiatives and activism about talking about corruption and many issues. So for me, I've been like thinking all the time how I would be stuff more useful to you. That's what I've been thinking. So, news media, as you know, they are not neutral. This is a visualization we did with newspapers, like replicating what in a film about Noam Chomsky on Capturing Consent. This is an edition of one day of the New York Times, and this is the surface that the advertisement and the news have. Like a third of the newspaper is advertising. Of course, news media are more neutral because they are influenced by economic powers and politics, but also we are not neutral. And because whenever we publish any data visualization or a map as cultural artifacts, they are just subjective, no? To whatever we decide. We decide the color, we decide the time frame, we decide the every decision makes us create like some white lies because we don't want to lie. There's some abstractions, and I was bringing here these two really well-known books that I'm sure you know, like How to Lie with Statistics, How to Lie with Maps, that are a good introduction to understand how statistics and graphics are not neutral. So in mass media, what I was thinking, I mean, what is it specific from the news media that I was going to talk today? Well, the thing is, they usually need to tell a story, no? Yesterday were people from the Mundo here talking about data visualization, and they want to tell a story, they want to tell something, not just present the data, as some of you, I've been talking with you, like, you not anymore want just to present some data in a great way, but also tell some stories or teach the media how to understand them or educate them. And this is a visualization from the Financial Times, and they want to show context. So it's not only telling a story, but it's about Greece and the 10 years government bonds from Germany and Greece and cooperation, and you can see like the news related to that. So it's not only as the line chart, but information. And the user, when the user browses through this data, is the news are appearing there. So that's a common practice. In the media right now, this long scroll down web pages. And because sometimes telling a story is shorter and you can communicate more information that giving all the data. No? This is an example I took from another talk. This is a story about a person, Jim, who feels sick and cannot go to work. You can tell it really short. And if you want to give all the data that are behind that story, I've written down. No? And sometimes the media are looking for, the news media, they look for data, for data sets, and they make great visualizations, but then they want to focus on one story, one particular person, to personify the story, and we have to be aware of that, no? How to explain a story. So sometimes telling a story and using our hands, using video, is quite useful. I'm going to show you now just some seconds of this famous presentation by Hans Rosling. and how with a scatterplot and an animation and his own hands and his body, he can tell the story.
We stop the world, and this is all UN statistic that has been available. Here we go. Can you see there? It's China. They're moving up against better health. They're improving there. All the green Latin American countries, they are moving towards smaller families. Your yellow ones here are the Arabic countries, and they get larger families, but they, no, longer life, but not larger families. The Africans are the green down here. They still remain here. This is India. Indonesia is moving on pretty fast. And in the 80s here, you have Bangladesh still among the African countries there, but not Bangladesh. It's a miracle that happens in the 80s. The imams start to promote family planning, and they move up into that corner. And in 90s, we have the terrible HIV epidemic that takes down the life expectancy of the African countries, and all the rest of the world moves up into the corner where we have long lives and small family, and we have a completely new world.
You have to do a play and you can see the dots moving. But the important thing here is just to be able to tell a story and to communicate to our audience. And here in a talk, but also in our website or in a paper. So, but news media not only promote the stories now in this era of overload of data, they are also able to let the user explore the data. This is the International Consortium for Investigative Journalism about the Panama Papers, so they are opening the database. It was 1 week ago, and they let you explore the data. So that's meant for collaborative journalism. People can, from different teams and newspapers can collaborate, but also to let the public interact or get new clues or provide information. And there are many ways. I mean, I just brought two examples of how to talk about the Panama Papers here. In this case, I just wanted to show you that they're using drawings to tell the story of the different people involved in this scandal. Just to raise awareness of that to produce a great communication, you have to take into account different skills from artists, from statisticians, and from journalists. So, but above all, like Edwin was commenting yesterday, show me the data. So we need to get the data and we need to understand it in a meaningful way. So I brought some basics. Most of you, I imagine that you already know, the Tufthean way from Edward Tufte, that are this data in ratio, charge rank, and data density. So data in ratio is the information, the proportion of the information that is useful. I mean, it is useful to provide the data. That this was enunciated in a era where the computers were not displaying data, so it's ink, but now we should think in also in pixels, no? Which percentage of the pixels are offering information. This is like a poorly designed bar chart for many reasons, for all these lines that are not offering us information, but these grid lines and many other things. So, Tufte and others have coined this idea of this is a basic graph, and this is the information you can remove without losing information. This is like what is called a chart junk, like whatever in a graphic you don't need. And there's been a lot of debate about this, data in ratio graphics are easier to understand. So if you look for it, there are a lot of papers making studies like the one that was presented yesterday by Edwin about how people understand graphics. But what I want you to keep in mind is that whenever you produce a graphic, is to understand how much data, how much information that you put in there, and how much is just not useful. This is like an example of how a bar graph has a lot of lines that are not useful, and this is like the height that I like, that is so minimal that maybe some people have difficulties to understand. So I'm not advocating for just high data ink, but just to have that in account, whenever you produce a graphic, to think about this in this concept. So because this chart junk is this kind of graphics where they are using, you know, this 3D stuff. I mean, I haven't seen this these kind of examples here. I just brought two or three really bad data abuses of data visualization. This is from my Spanish media. But people love to make these graphs, like 3D, glossy things, and in the end, this really data here. And so the other concept in this thing is data density. It's like the number of entries in a data matrix divided by the total area of the graphic. Now the area of the graphic is not that simple because in a responsive environment like mobile phones and desktops, it's not that simple, but it's important to think how many data we are displaying. For displaying, this is an example by Few, Stephen Few, another data visualization like guru or something like that. There's some 3 data here, maybe it's better to use a table or whatever. And on the opposite side, of we could like so this graphic by the New York Times using the segregation by race according to the census data in the US, and every point is 60 people. They are not able to put exactly the point. It's a randomized point in an area, which is the census area, the census tract, but it gives you a really great example of how to use census data and provide the ability to people to navigate and understand. Imagine this, as we will see later, in color field map with Argus, that you usually make like this, but at least you have like a more accurate information. So I wanted to review some examples and some of different data visualizations, and start with data tables, because tables are one of the first the best ways to display detailed information and specific information and be able to compare specific data. And sometimes I think we don't pay enough attention on how they are designed and how we can interact in paper and online. So they are really interesting to use when you are using different measures. So you have, imagine in a graphic, you have to have different scales at the right or the left margins. And if you use some for like quarterly reports, yearly reports, or whatever. So again, these are two examples by Few, Stephen Few, in his book, Show Me the Numbers. It could be a lot worse, but it's the same idea of not using that much lines because you don't need them. They are distracting. You know? So we just thinking in tables as another way of visualizing information. A very basic thing now for online tables. Now that we have the ability with small code to order every column by alphabetically or whatever, so we would have to use it. I'm bringing here this data tables JavaScript library that is so simple to use. So whenever I see online a table that you are not able to reorder, well, it's kind of a missed opportunity, not to provide a better experience for the user. For example, I bring here this this corruption scandal in Spain, where people from a saving bank were spending freely money and whatever they wanted. From the Caja Madrid and Bankia, a bank that was saved by the Spanish government. And so you could explore in this visualization by El Diario all these different spendings, and it was interesting. So you could track who was the person, in which place he spent that thing, and the name, the place, and the amount. And it's good for the specifics, but it's difficult to get a big picture. No? So it was suggesting this idea of this bar chart with all the amount of and color by the type of spending. These are like jewelries, hotels, trips, and cash machine. Well, I don't want you to focus on the specifics, but it was intending to understand all this spending. Well, as there are so many data that is so difficult to explore, I was randomizing the position. Just to see if he was able to see any trend, which I didn't see. But for example, for hotels, you see more in summer. But I'm not bringing all the examples here, but it's just another way of displaying information. For example, this one is an example by Alberto Cairo, another data visualization expert. We've seen this a lot in the news media. This is an example created. I'm comparing the bank's market value in January 2007 and January 2009, 2 years later. And some people love to use circles, aerial circles. I mean, we use them in scatter plots and in maps because that's like the only way we could use it, but they are difficult to understand. When we compare to data, in circles, people don't know if they have to see to look at the area or the diameter. And when people are asking, which is the relationship between these two values? Well, we display in a unidimensional bar chart. This is the real difference, because our brain is not prepared to compare circle areas. I mean, that's why in so many of these battle plots or other maps, you have the scale of the because you are not able to understand. But even with that scale, it's so difficult for us to understand. So that's why we discourage the use of this whenever possible. And the same happened with these three maps. And this is public spending in the city of Madrid. And I mean, they are good for understanding and to have a big picture, but it's difficult to compare this area to this one. I mean, because they don't have any shared measure, and so it's difficult to understand. So we are proposing, I mean, the same as with this this great project by Where Does My Money Go? In the UK, to studying public spending. It's great to look at the data, but it's difficult to have a sense of, to compare one size and the other. No, it's an interactive visualization. You can click in any of these buttons, but it's difficult to understand. So when I was bringing it before, I will go back once. I was writing here, in material transparency, because sometimes in open data, you can release the data, but maybe the naming of this data is not understandable by the general public. So this is a concept by Alberto Muñoz, which is a PhD student in Ciudad Real. And so I like the idea that you can release the data, you can make great visualizations, but sometimes you need to rename or rethink how you explain them, because some people don't understand. So this is the exercise we are doing in the city of Madrid. With a project called Culturometer, so it's measuring the spending in culture. And we're using a Sankey diagram, some of you might be familiar with this. And the idea is to show the public spending in a Sankey diagram, so to show the flow of money to different departments. This pink area are the salaries of the people working there, so what the town hall cannot change. And this is like a public company. From the municipality, and so in a single picture you understand the flows of money, whereas in the area in the tree map from before you click on it and it opens a new window, so it's, you don't get the big picture. So this is an experiment for doing that. With circle maps, I wanted to bring one of these horror examples that it was I brought money, I think, too. This is from ABC, a newspaper in Spain, and they are comparing the production of wine in the world. And they're using this impossible graphic. And if you compare this data really in a bar chart, it would be like this. And if, according to the diameter in the graphic, it's like this, 50, 42, like 84%. And if you use the area of the circle, it's like 70%. And if you use the, I mean, as they are barrels and use the volume, it will be something like that, 59%. So it's, I mean, they are so we are so used to seeing these graphs and these drawings. So I was just making like the, if you're going that way, maybe you want to just, you want to make it easier. So there has been a lot of, studies in the way people comprehend the data. This is a famous paper because it was very controversial about useful junk. So this is a bar chart or a chart by Miguel Holmes, he's a great designer. And the experiment was comparing how people understood Miguel Holmes charts and simple charts. So I'm not going to go deep into that because there's been a lot of critics to this experiment, like who is being interviewed, who is the people have been asked, that the signal graph is so ugly that people maybe don't like it, because the experiment was saying in the end that people prefer and would remember that more. But maybe it's because it's too bad, or maybe because there's so few data that it's not that bad, or maybe because Neil Holmes is a great designer. I just wanted to bring suggestion about, you remember about the data integrative and what you are using to use this data. Maybe just six data are not that important, not that you don't need that much paraphernalia. So this is another bar chart graphic in the Spanish television. So they are showing the unemployment in August, the change, and they are using just three data. Why they are doing this? Because these are the three that they are using, the 2000, 2008, and 2015. Those are they are missing the big picture. This is racist, it's a very biased third-party television towards the government. They are showing that the government is doing great right now. But this raises some more interesting questions apart from this really bad graphic, is how to display this kind of complex information, or not that complex, but so many data on a screen, which this is not possible. It's like too much information, maybe for a TV screen or for a small device. So I don't have here the solution, but we have to think in ways of how to display this kind of information on the screens and on TV. This is, I think it's quite famous examples. This is from The Economist, which they usually do a good job, but they make here like two different scales. This is the GDP change of the previous quarter and the unemployment rate. And they have here the 20%, the same time that the zero here, and they are making a lot. So this is like a kind of a really messy and graphic that it doesn't make much sense, but this was published in the comments. So I bring here one example of using of bar charts, and at the same time using information contextually. Because I think it's one of the great things we are seeing now in the media. So when you are reading the information and looking at the bar charts, while you read the story. So if you are reading the story, this is a story about who is speaking in the by gender in films. And the thing is, you have here the bar chart, which is a normal bar chart. So you see like Toy Story, most of the people are this is only Disney movies. Most of the characters are male. But when you keep reading, you can see the information there. So that's, as the people from CBS and many others were saying, that you are telling a story and having the bar charts here, or the charts. And here is, at the same time, it's interactive, and you keep reading, you can keep interacting when you read. And I think that was brought before by Tufte in his books, like to provide always the graphics beside what you're telling. And I think we are able to do that now in online. So, and now you also have like different, you can see here the movies, blue is male, red is female words, and you have here the small multiples. Whenever you go down, you can see this information embedded in the graphics or in the text. So I think it's a great example of how you can produce information and put it inside the text, not just taking it to separate sections. Like I was discussing with someone before, sometimes the national statistics institutes, they have a visualizations section in the website. Maybe it's the moment to have that, but also to have things together, no? Text and graphics. So, what about maps? Your spatial information is so important. There have been so many lectures here talking about maps. I then wanted to point to problematic things with the color of the maps, because if you are coloring in a color of the map something that it doesn't take in account the area you are coloring, for example, if you are coloring density or population density, like the one in the red, it's like a good way to do if you are just coloring by population, and you are kind of misleading, or you are usually misleading. So when we use color field maps, we have to take in account that we are in the measure we are putting there is the area that we are measuring. Because this is another famous example by Jonas Noll at the Corona Map in London. You know this example? Adam is is studying the cholera cases in London, in this cholera. And this is what it was in the 19th century. Monomer, the author of How to Learn with Maps, was making this experiment. Imagine instead of plotting the plots, he could not have like the different neighborhoods or just plotting the data by a corrected map. He could not have understood the story, no? Because depending on how you draw these counties or these areas, you would cover it in one way or another, no? So, this is just to bring an example of how misleading could be carbon maps. Or for example, how you color this scale, no? If you decided to make it equally or by the size or whatever, you can tell the story that there is one place which is that has almost none, or you can say that almost all the region is in it's below 20. So depending on how you color, you can tell a story of another. Now in the Eurostat, in out of the examples, you can decide which intervals. But even that, if you don't see how that is done, maybe you cannot understand. That's important because of the colors. And I imagine some of you are aware of that the difficulties of understanding a scale that is not one color, it has multiple, like for example, here the yellow countries are like brighter than the others because it's not using a monotone scale like the two ones before. And this one, the visual spectrum, is also quite common to be seen on maps, but it's also difficult to understand for the non-expert users because we don't understand what is more and what is less. If green is less than them. I just bring this example that Jorge Hassan was bringing before, but Cartodre, like a way of playing with these scales to see how they plot on maps. I think it's great tool for understanding how to decide which scale to use. One other thing, this is an example for El Español, a Spanish newspaper, is the problem with election maps and with the winner takes it all. In this kind of maps, you are coloring. This is Spain and the last elections, and every region is colored by the party that has won. And of course, if you do that, you are missing part of the information because you just have the winners of the region. The map is greatly done, it's zoomable, it's really quick and fast, and it's a great map. But there's a lack of this second position. I mean, who's second, no? That a lot of election maps have. So we have a map by municipality. This is a difference. This is the map we were seeing before, and the by region and by province, and it's by municipality. So and we are seeing that much more colors and much more subtle differences. Because an example, how would it look? Who has won in Spain?
Yes.
Plot like the 27%. This make us laugh, but these others don't. Because we are more used to that, but it's the same. We're doing the same exercise. Just plotting who has won. So we're working towards doing this, making a new map. That's what I love to see, this kind of graphics where you can decide how to do the intervals. You cannot decide the colors, but at the same time you see here the plot distribution, the dots. And whenever you change this, you change the color. I would love to see how to change the colors, but this brings the issue that there's no one visualization, there's like multiple ways of doing it. We can display that and we can tell this multiple story. That's the way to do it, if possible. Because when we tell this story of a Turkish newspaper about the feminicide, the killing of women in Turkey, and we see that in the region of Istanbul, there are a lot of this in Istanbul. Why is that? Because it's a more populated area, of course. Yeah. So when we make this kind of graphics, that we are sometimes making a population graphic. That's a really cool one. And not to talk about the size of the bubbles, that is also problematic. And this is demonstrations in Brazil, according to police and to the organizers. I love this visualization, but maybe we would have needed also a bar chart, like comparing one with the other, because this is so difficult to understand. This gives us one part of the story, but not the whole story. I mean, this is a tricky idea of HKCD, that I mean, all these maps are the same, and that happens to us a lot. For example, one example was shown, I think, yesterday, this visualization, I mean, the total population, I think, is good to see, but we see Germany and France, the UK, and the top. And when you change and you see air passengers, and we don't see a rate, we just see the population. I mean, give us a bit of information, but this quite misleading, you know? So we have to take that in account, whatever. I mean, this is maybe it's 101 statistics. But this is, I mean, when I see that in the Google stuff, maybe we think what's going on. So reading recommendations, I thought that at the beginning I was thinking that maybe I should recommend some tools, but I think this sometimes too hard to constrain, or they tell you what to do. I like more the idea of thinking how to represent every time you do develop a project. I mean, and you have to think for who, where. This morning, on CBS was asking, I mean, was asking himself, I mean, which is the period of time, the level of Zoom, and I think there's no answer. I mean, it's just a cycle you keep reiterating and answering for every time you do. And what we can learn from the news media is like to show the context, to show the data, to try to tell a story without misleading, and to have in the team more people, not just as physicians or developers, but to have artists and to have other points of view that can make that can allow us to tell the stories or let others to the story. So that's it. Yeah. Okay. These are the slides if you want to download them, because I didn't load them before for the system. Okay.
Thank you very much, Pablo. A very interesting presentation. So we have time now for some questions. Is any question or comment?
Okay. I wonder if you had any thoughts on presenting, overloading users with too much information, how they can explore those types of interfaces. I think the hand drawing example you showed earlier, I think you were trying to make the point that without him telling that narrative, telling that story, maybe there's quite a lot of information going on there. Maybe it's not a suitable, in my eyes, that's not a suitable display of information. There's so many variables that.
But which example are
the
you?
Hand holding, the hand holding. You've got change over time, you've got the area size, you've got color, you've got animation. There's a lot kind of going on there. Without him there, it's.
Yeah,
my point is that to make that visualization work is you need him.
Yeah.
That's what I was. I'm not saying that visualization by itself is working. I'm making that example because sometimes we need to tell the story. We need to. We need someone to put the hands there and tell it. Maybe that's the way to tell that story. I mean, I suppose there are in the instant replay, and you know, because that you can see the line where the things are wrong. So I don't think by itself this visualization is going. I mean, it's just a way of exploring, but with him makes the story compelling.
We can talk to you.
So this is not to criticize you, but I got the feeling that we are, in a way, old-fashioned. If you talk about app users, you have also to talk about maybe what we heard this morning about gamification, what possibilities we have to go inside the users to get information, or if you talk about confidentiality, if we make regional charts and combine data from different suppliers, there's new possibilities for app users.
I'm not going on the abuses, so I agree with what you say. I mean, I'm not covering all the abuses, it's just an introduction. So I was more involved in the visualization abuses more than the data abuses.
No other question?
Okay.
So we are moving now from two o'clock here just to make a summary of the main conclusions of the other parallel sessions. We didn't have the chance to attend all of them. And then a small round table to discuss the implications and to see what is going to happen and we can take back one of these. Okay, so